on the broader issue of trust, Nick, there's been a lot of rumors and news swirling around the Telegraph sale that's supposed to come up any day now, really. What are your thoughts about who could purchase the paper and what that would mean for trust in news in the UK?
Well, I think we have to be very careful. Omar's already referred to this. But I think that the problem is that is the polarization that we now have within the media industry from a political angle is greater than it's ever been before. And part of it is caused by the fact that the media owners rely on sensational content or content that's going to generate a response. And that response can be page traffic, it can be comments below the line. They have to try and build traffic that they can monetize. And that leads to more extreme content, more hysteria, more sensationalism. And certainly the Telegraph has been ploughing that furrow quite significantly for quite some time now. And although Private Eye is not always the most reliable of sources for everything, they described the Telegraph the other day as increasingly deranged.
Mm.
And it is. And I wrote a piece for the Media Leader a short while ago about the Telegraph in particular. And I actually said that people should read the Daily Telegraph because it acts as a useful corrective for the world that we tend to live in, which is the liberal, metropolitan, you know, woke world, in inverted commas. And the Telegraph is the polar opposite of that. And it's very important for all of us to understand that there are different views out there. There are people who think very differently. I go into the Daily Telegraph comments section all the time just to try and understand the other side of that equation. And it's extreme. It really is extreme. And that extremism has been on full display in Manchester over the last few days, is that, you know, the political world is becoming increasingly polarized. And that is and that is being reflected through the media, unsurprisingly. And GB News is another good example of that. What I hope, and it's more of a hope than an expectation, is that whoever wins the auction for the Telegraph titles and the Spectator returns it to a much more level-headed, sensible, well-run organization compared to what it is today. As I say, it's more of a hope than expectation because we live in very polarized times.
What's the economic incentive for the Telegraph to do that when every indication has been over the last 15, 20 years almost, that the more hysterical you are, the more outrage-inducing you are, that's how you win in the digital attention economy?
Well, I don't know if Jack's going to answer that question, but I mean, that is the problem, isn't it, in a nutshell, is that the money lies in outrage, what we call angertainment. I will talk about this a bit more, maybe, but it's one of the reasons why advertisers are avoiding channels which build their audience in that way, because they don't want to be associated with angertainment. But mm-hmm. That's possibly an adjacent subject, but it's true. And the trouble is that sensationalism builds audiences and audiences build revenue. And part of this, unfortunately, is also because some of these titles that we're talking about are short of revenue compared to where they'd like to be, because so much of the advertising revenue is soaked up by the big platforms. And of course, it's also part of the new mixed economy of advertising and subscription and other forms, which we're going to be talking about at the Future of Media next week, which I think is possibly one of the biggest themes of all in media right now, which is the way that the media are now being funded, not just by the traditional sources of advertising, but by other forms of revenue, whether that be subs, whether that be e-commerce revenues, affiliate revenues, that sort of thing. But they're all having to do this, and they're all having to build their audiences in the most in the most monetizable, to use a horrible word, monetizable way possible in order to build their revenues, given that advertising is being sucked out of the system by the big platforms, but also we live in a time when advertising revenue is in short supply anyway.
Mm, yeah, I would just add there was a recent Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism study that found 2/3 of Brits said that nothing would get them to pay for news. I mean, nothing at all. It doesn't matter what the price is. They just wouldn't. They feel entitled to news for free. And so I think that speaks a little bit to that change that you're just describing in news organizations feeling they might need to sensationalize a little bit more or polarize themselves a little bit more, because the people that are willing to pay, that are more easily monetizable, are probably on the edges a bit more. So
absolutely. And if you look at the recent revenues for the Telegraph Group, they're really quite, they're pretty good, but they're not good because of the cover price of the Daily Telegraph, of course, as it used to be the case. When people bought newspapers, they're not good because of the advertising revenues coming in via the usual routes. They're good because they are building their subscriptions in the same way that the Times has built its subscriptions and others have done the same thing. I mean, the way to build revenue in the publishing industry is subscriptions these days. And people, it may be the minority, but the ones who subscribe are subscribing because they want to belong to that tribe. They want to be able to go on and post their comments. They want to read editorial that appeals to them. They don't want to hear contrary views. And, if you go into the comment section of the Daily Telegraph, as I do, for the reasons I've already stated, if somebody expresses a contrary view to the orthodox, they say, go back to the Guardian. Get thee gone to the... It's kind of like, you shouldn't be on here. You should be on the Guardian website, not on here. They don't want to hear other people who don't agree with them. They gain validation and self-worth and they feel like they're in the majority. Comments like, millions of people feel the way I do about this. Millions of people, think this... And they, which is... almost always untrue, but it makes them feel better. They feel as they're not alone. It gives them a chance to vent their spleen. And it drives subscriptions. And it may not be the majority, but it's enough to make some very, very good revenue.